A marked confidence-confirming experience. Daniels could hardly wait to read the testimonies for which he had been waiting. With a fellow minister, he read the communications. They noted that while each of the two documents had been copied on Thursday, December 21, 1905, one was penned in August 1903, and the other June 1, 1904. Arrangements were made immediately for a meeting in the tabernacle that evening at 7:30, at which the testimonies would be read to the whole church. At 7:30 the tabernacle was full, auditorium, vestries, and gallery. Dr. Kellogg was not there. His brother, W. K., and a number of the doctor's supporters were there. Elder Daniels took the lead, telling the congregation of how in times of old, God communicated with his people. Sometimes the prophet delivered in person the message God gave him, sometimes it was delivered through others. He pointed out that from the earliest days of this cause the spirit of prophecy had been in our midst, and had been recognized by those who were loyal to this message, and that the messenger had always claimed liberty to deliver the message either in person or by sending it to others to be read. Ibid. He read the telegram instructing him to wait in Battle Creek for the testimonies. Now he had the two documents in his hands, the result of a failure to heed God's warnings and a solemn appeal. He pointed out that both were penned by Ellen White in her journal, one as much as 2 years before, but were not copied until she was impressed to do so, Thursday, December 21. Both documents carried solemn messages pointing out that leaders who were spiritually blind were leading the blind, and unless converted and transformed, leaders and their followers cannot be laborers together with God. They persist in trying to make it appear as if they have made no mistakes, and have not been led by seducing spirits, when I know that they have, for thus saith the one who is truth. Speaking of the one who has long stood in the position of physician-in-chief, she declared that no dependence can be placed in a man whose words and actions reveal that he is spiritually blind. What can be said regarding a man who, in his life practice, disregards a plain thus saith the Lord? He has a bewildered mind, an uncertain experience. She referred to the experiences of Adam and Eve, who allowed themselves to be allured by the seductive influence of Satan's voice and were beguiled. Thus it has been in the case of the one who has long stood at the head of our medical work. He often declares that he has always believed the messages God has given through Sister White, and yet he has done very much to undermine confidence in the validity of the testimonies. Oh, how many he has influenced to view things as he has viewed them! How often he has led others to think, somebody has told Sister White. Both of the testimonies were read without comment. As Elder Daniels read on, page after page, a number in the large tabernacle audience could not help but note how accurately they described the words and attitudes witnessed just the night before as Dr. Kellogg addressed sanitarium leaders. It was 9 o'clock when Daniels finished reading the 16 pages of the two documents. It seemed to me as I read, he wrote the next day, that I never felt the burning power of words reaching my own soul as these. A.G.D. To G.A. Irwin, December 27, 1905. We ought to resort to earnest prayer, he told the hushed audience, and suggested that those who wished to do so retire to the north vestry. But too many wished to pray, and so the audience turned back to the main auditorium. During the break, three men who had been in Dr. Kellogg's six-hour meeting came to Daniels and told him that the meeting held the previous night had been clearly described in the messages Ellen White felt impelled to have copied and sent. They also said that if there had been a doubt in their minds regarding the source of the testimonies, it would have been swept away by their own statements, as set forth by Ellen G. White, in the testimonies. Ibid. From 9:15 to 10 all united in prayer that their eyes might be open to see things as God sees them. They prayed that Dr. Kellogg and his associates and all the sanitarium helpers might be led to receive and obey the solemn messages that had come to them. The next few days in Old Battle Creek, there was a lot of talk of how the Spirit of the Lord on the previous Thursday led Ellen White in California to have the message she wrote 2 years before copied and sent to Battle Creek to arrive just after the notable meeting was held by Dr. Kellogg in the college building. Some described the Monday night meeting as such that if they had not been well grounded, they would have been turned away entirely from the testimonies. One said that he would be driven into infidelity if he believed the things the doctor related to them. Ibid.